Greg Anderson is with us, or Greg Anderson. Greg Johnson from the Andersons in Champaign County is with us. Greg is on the air in the afternoon on Mondays at about 2:25 in the afternoon to talk about the cash grain market. He's there each and every week, and we're going to talk about soybeans a little bit with Greg and the rest of the crew this morning. Greg, take 3 minutes and lay out your position for me, or 30 seconds if that's all it takes.
Thank you, Todd. Normally when I'm up here, whether it's the corn panel or the bean panel, inevitably we end up saying if it rains this summer, we should be selling beans now, and if it doesn't rain this summer, we shouldn't sell any beans now. We have to add the rust into this equation this year, so now if the rust shows up, we shouldn't sell beans, and if the rust If the rust does show up, we shouldn't be selling beans, and if it doesn't, then we should. But besides the obvious, I want to just bring to light maybe three things that that I've been watching. One thing for old crop beans, people that still have old crop beans, the amount of beans under loan this year, right now the most recent numbers for soybeans, 419 million bushels. How does that compare to last year? Last year we had 156 million beans under loan. So basically triple the amount of beans are under loan. And if you remember back in the fall, beans were very close to loan rate. Farmers weren't sure whether to sell or not. They ended up, you know, because at that time, several analysts were talking about beans going somewhere down to the low fours with big LDPs. The only way to capture that would be put your beans under loan or in storage at least, and that way if beans went down, you were protected. We noticed that at our elevator as well. Normally less than 5% of the beans go into storage. This year, over 20% of the beans went into storage, and a lot of them are still there. So what's my point? My point is, effectively, we've taken a lot of beans off the market temporarily. People that have taken out nine-month loans have some cash flow. There's not really the pressure to sell. And, you know, if they've waited this long, they're probably going to wait a little bit longer and see if the rush shows up this summer. Okay? So my point is, eventually, those nine-month loans will mature and they will hit the market. So keep that in mind. There will be some extra beans coming on the market this summer that are temporarily off the market. That's one thing. Two, I went back and did a little research. I always like to throw a little interesting statistic in. The average range for beans from October to October, the last 11 years, is $2.03 from high to low. For corn, it's over a dollar. We've had some very wide ranges in beans. This year so far, we've only had about a, where are we at so far this year? 491 to 652, about $1.61 range so far. So there still could be more variation in this bean market, both to the upside and the downside. And finally, just to keep this whole thing in perspective, everybody is talking about South America right now, ourselves included. A month ago, the crop was estimated to be somewhere around 64 million tons for Brazil. Now they're down around 57. Maybe even a little bit lower, depending on who you talk to, okay? And I'm not good with metric tons. I have to convert everything to bushels. So basically, we've probably lost somewhere between Brazil and Argentina close to 10 million metric tons. What is that in bushels? 360 million bushels. What's the U.S. carryout? A month ago, the USDA estimated somewhere around 440 million. So we're taking a very sizable chunk of beans out of the equation. Now, the government still forecasts a very comfortable 1.8 billion bushel carryover worldwide. So we may be a little short on beans overall or in certain places, but overall there's enough beans to get by. So I guess that's what I just want to leave you with, that there will be enough beans, but we have dramatically curtailed that surplus. You know, there were people talking about beans with a three in front of them for the price, or at least low fours. You don't hear that talk anymore. So we've taken that extreme downside away, but we still have comfortable supplies, and with a lot of beans under loan, those will be hitting the market eventually.
I'm looking down here at the end at Vince, and Vince is going, what the devil am I going to talk about after I get the rest of these guys through? Thank you very much. Well, that's it. We'll talk about corn this afternoon, right? Thank you very much, Greg. Greg Johnson, of course, is with the Andersons, which is a large elevator operation, operates in Illinois, just one elevator there in Champaign County, Indiana, and Michigan.
And Ohio.
Ohio, they're home, I'm sorry, and Ohio. They operate a fairly large operation across those places. Wayne Nelson is with us. Wayne, you can hear on Tuesday mornings at 9:50 a.m. and on Tuesday afternoons at about 10 after the hour of 2 o'clock. He's with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, one of our regular brokers. Wayne has the distinction, and if I'm wrong, of all of the analysts or anybody who happens to be in the audience, Wayne is the only person, I believe, that has been at this particular meeting all 15 years. This is the 15th one. Anybody else? All right, give Wayne a hand for that. He's been here a long time. Wayne, what's your view on the bean market?
Well, Todd, it's great to be here for the 15th or 16th year in a row, whatever it is, for all of them, and to look out and see that the crowd has continued to grow every year. That shows that WILL and all the guys are working very hard for you and trying to bring you some quality information. A couple of things I do know for sure today is you're going to get a lot of ideas presented to you today. Some will be right and some will end up being wrong. You're going to get a good meal, and you'll have the opportunity to take something from today's meeting and to take it for a chance to make some good money on your operation today. It's just your job to sort out and see which information is right. The one thing I do know about the bean market right now, it is very, very volatile. As we talk to all of our analysts in Chicago and around the country, they just say, if this happens, like Greg was saying, if this happens, you should have done this. If this happens, you should have done that. Unfortunately, the Board of Trade has never let us go back and do yesterday after we see what tomorrow's weather forecast is. Some of the good things we need to be watching are there's been a real dry trend in Brazil, and it seems to be continuing, and we have lost a lot of production in Rio Grande do Sul. How much we've lost is a big question mark, and it's hard for us to decide. We get lower estimates every day. Yesterday, the government came with a 57 million metric ton, and just from February, that's down from theirs at 62.2. We've got a very weak U.S. dollar. It is, you know, it's continued to weaken and stay weak. The rust, how much damage did it do in South America? They're talking about how much more it's done in Argentina this year and showed up in places it hasn't been before. They're talking about areas that have had to spray 6 and 7 times. That's a lot of money. Will they be able to continue to enlarge their production acres? And we're talking about a lower acreage forecast for our beans for this year. On the weak side, we've got a weak U.S. basis now that we finally moved some beans after they went up a dollar. We finally did break some beans loose from the farmer. We actually got the dollar raise when the farmer was the majority holder of beans this year for a change. That generally happens after you sold most of them. There's pretty good chances of rains in Argentina, and that's going to keep their corn area strong and their beans still producing what we predicted. You know, there's talk that China's done buying U.S. beans for now, for 2005. We hear that echo every year, but last year it was very crucial that they did quit buying and quit taking things. We've used meal at a real slow pace so far this year, and their meal's starting to build up. There's large palm oil supplies still out there, and like I said, we have triggered a lot of farmer movement at this point in time. Our feeling is that if we do sell off here now and do break down below the 610 to 612 is where the gap is in the July beans, we could move down in the 575 area, but that's about as low as we feel it's going to go for now. We've got a lot of things to look forward to, the crop anticipation planning report, how the crop goes in the ground, and what the rust is, and what the final production out of South America is, and will the world and the freight rates and all that keep us still in the market.
Thanks, Wayne. Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. You probably noticed his U of I tie. He is a grad, a fellow grad from the U of I, an alumni from the U of I, and probably the largest supporter of the Illini that we have on the staff of analysts, at least outwardly anyway, at the WILL radio station. And we appreciate what you do for the Illini and for the station both. Kurt Kimmel is next in line. Kurt is with Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Kurt joins us on Mondays, actually, you know, yesterday I tried to put Wayne Nelson on in the afternoon. Anybody hear that during the settlement prices? Did you hear that? I said Wayne Nelson was coming up. I don't know.
Did I do good?
I wanted to be so far ahead. I knew it before I got to the closing market report. I decided just to ignore it to see if anybody else would too. Anyway, Kurt Kimmel joins us on the closing market report on Monday afternoons and on Monday mornings as well. He's with Grainfield. Kurt, what do you have to say about the bean market today?
Well, basically, we've got confirmation that we've just got a lot of outside public interest in the commodity markets in general. If you look at fund investments, we're pushing $140 billion of outside money coming in. Not only is the money coming in, but it's being reallocated from crude oil, currencies, and so forth, and it's been moved over to the grain complex, and I think that's dynamic. I've not read this whole book, but Jimmy Rogers has wrote in a book, How Hot Commodities, How Anyone Can Invest Profitably in the World's Best Market. You know, we've got this such a dynamic situation here where you can lay $1,000 down on the table and make or lose $25,000 real quick. This last 2 weeks here, we've seen a $1.40, $1.60 move. That's $7,000. And this is attractive to outside investments. You know, if the stock market relatively flat compared to other investments, we're seeing just tremendous interest come in here. It sort of reminds me of the 70s in a sense. Back then we had Russia as a big buyer. Today we've got China. We had blight and aphids in the corn. Now we've got aphids in the beans. Even the 30-year cycle is comparable back to then. So we've got this fundamental and technical situation where this bean market is just going to be dynamic. Sort of like a spaceship, you know, you're sitting here for a while and you just explode to the upside and you take off. And, you know, there's no looking back whatsoever. When you're up here to the moon, all of a sudden you hear Chicago, we've got problems, and then gravity takes over, you're right back down. And I think that's the type of atmosphere we're in for a while. Whether it's weather, demand, or whatever, I think it's just going to be a situation where you got to have a plan and a covered strategy. If you're going to hedge, sell the board, I think you got to buy calls. If you're going to buy the board, you need to buy puts to cover it. There's option opportunities. There's going to be tremendous opportunities. It's just a matter of getting the board and taking place. Short term in here, I think the bean market's following the 15-year seasonal cycle. Oftentimes, the bean market bombs here in the first part of February, rallies into mid-March. The average move up has been about $1.20, $1.30. Over the next 3 or 4 weeks, the bean market has a tendency to move sideways. If the second leg kicks in, the next upside objective is 720.
Thanks, Kurt. Let's talk to Dan Zwicker. Dan, you're going to get a question from me instead of talking.
But I don't know what to talk about. Everything's covered.
Dan Zwicker, probably everybody is familiar with, is with AgriVisor Services, airs on WILL in the mornings and the afternoons on Thursday. About a month ago, was it 3 weeks or a month ago? I think it was about a month ago on Thursday, and then he was on Commodity Week that Friday evening. And Dan was ready. He had turned the market around at some point, in the bean in particular, and he was ready to go. Now, I worked for Dan for a time when I first came out of college, and I knew I could see it in his eyes that he thought this thing was going to go for a while. I didn't know how far he thought it was going to go. I sort of guessed that earlier this week. I think he thought it was going to go $1 or $1.25. I'm going to give you that credit one way or the other. The question is whether this has turned around the other way. And what was it that you saw in the bean market at that time that made you decide that it was going to go higher?
Well, I think you give me too much credit.
Part of this is luck,
you know. I think short-term here, Kurt kind of summed it up, that we're in we had the first initial surge out of the hole. Now we're in a ratty congestion area with probably some downside risk in here for a couple weeks or so. I don't think we're going to kill this market, at least just yet. I think actually longer-term, and I'm not going to use the word if, I guess, because my work indicates that longer term, the fundamentals will fall in place to kind of keep the soybean market fairly active and trying to grind higher. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to go back to $10 beans like we were last year right away. But I think the markets in general, remember, they're always trading the supply-demand balance sheet, and that's whether or not stocks are tightening or stocks are loosening. And I think here a month and a half ago when we were making the low, that is, if you go back and look at it, that is when the market was trading the largest ending stocks level. I mean, it was a sure deal that Brazil and Argentina was going to come up with this, you know, 115 million ton crop. It was a sure deal that no matter what kind of weather we had in the U.S., that we were going to build stocks, even with a 2 million acre decline. I think all those have changed. So now I think, you know, we're kind of going the other way, where supply-demand tables are tightening. They're still fairly loose, but they are at least in the tightening mode. So I think as we approach the growing season, Wayne alluded to it, that there's a lot of uncertainties out there, whether it's rust or aphids or planting weather. And I think as long as we have those uncertainties, the bean market is going to stay lively.
Well, maybe I did give him too much credit. So far, we've heard that the market could go up or down at this point. Not just from Dan. I'm only kidding. Vince Reinicke is the next in line. Vince joins us Friday mornings on the pre-opening market report with Dave Dickey. And all of the panel actually joins us during Commodity Week from time to time. That's the program that airs at 11:30 on Saturday mornings. Or if you want to hear it early, you can always get it on the website about 6 o'clock on Friday evenings. We record it at 4:30 in the afternoon. Vince, tell us what your look at the marketplace might be.
I can just say everybody said it, right?
Yes, you can, if you'd like.
Actually, as I was driving over here this morning, before I got to the ice patch that started in Indiana, thanks, guys, from Indiana, by the way. Anyway, as I was driving over here this morning, I was thinking back to last year when we were sitting up here talking about this, and things obviously looked a lot different last year at that point. And I remember that I got the honor of being quoted in the Agri-News, I think it was, last year about $5 beans or something like that. And I don't say that because, you know, it ended up happening, but I say that because a lot of these guys said that it could happen. But I say that because, and I distinctly remember this phone call, I was talking to somebody that was close to where I grew up, and it was about something way off the topic of markets, and he said, but he was a farmer too, and he said, "Do you really think $5 beans is going to come around again?" And I said, "Well, it sure could, you know." And so anyway, I had to think about that this morning, and unfortunately, it did happen. But the fortunate thing is that, like most of these guys have talked about, we got this opportunity to kind of get rid of a lot of the old crop that we had. You know, that we grew, obviously, because of the good crops, the beans, you know, now we've got an opportunity to sell it at a pretty decent number, and I think that's something that is certainly necessary. You know, we can all sit up here and talk about what happens if rust comes around, and as a farmer myself, I extremely have that concern. I took that a little bit out of the equation because I decided to grow corn, but I know. Yeah, one of my customers told me yesterday, "So you're the reason I'm going to have dollar corn in the fall, huh?" I said, sorry. But anyway, I guess Greg made the comment that nobody's talking about $3 or $4 beans, and I'm not going to talk about $3 beans, but I guess I'll talk about $4 beans because I'm not really an eternal bear, but in many ways, I think we all have to recognize that if we're lucky enough that we don't have some sort of a rust problem this next year, given the burdensome supplies, $4 beans is certainly possible. And I like I said, I'm not an eternal bear, but I think I try and be a realist. In many ways, Dad asked me the question the other day, and I don't remember when it was, but he said, "Well, you know, generally speaking, long term, where do you think this bean market's headed?" And I think, and I told him, I said, "I think that the nice thing is that we have this whole rust issue that could come about this year." I said, "Hopefully, I'll get to grow some beans next year, because." Because of some price rally this year, and I can sell next year's beans in a price rally this year. And he kind of, you know, looked at me like, "What are you thinking, you know," or whatever. I just told him, I said, "You know me, and you know that I like to cover my costs before I make the decision to plant one way or the other." And so with that in mind, I really think, you know, aside from what everybody has said here, I really think that it is a good thing that we have the potential for a major rust scare this year. Don't get me wrong; I don't hope that rust affects us in a big way. But by all means, with the burdensome stocks that we have in the U.S. and in the world, I kind of hope myself and for everybody else that is encouraged to take advantage of it, that we do get some sort of a scare along the line here, so we can get some of next year's price risk hedged off. So. I guess if I might close with one bit of advice, it is to, you know, certainly be looking for the opportunities to cover your costs and know your costs and get them covered when those opportunities come along, because the uncertainty that we're going into here with this budget reconciliation process and the 08, 07, 08 Farm Bill, I mean, that's going to be I just hope that doesn't, you know, in the ag industry, put us into a tailspin, because there's some severe cuts coming, I'm sure.
Thanks much, Vince. Vince Reinicke. Okay, Dan, the quote is, $4 beans are not out of the realm of possibilities.
Oh, right?
Okay, Dan Grant is with the AgriNews. He's here today. Martin Ross is here in the front, too, with Farm Week. If you guys just hold your hands up so that these guys can know, we have a couple of folks. Dan's the one who quoted you last year, so.
Oh, was it? Okay.
That would be, you were here last year, right, Dan? Yeah, I believe that's correct. Okay, so the quote probably will be there again. Congratulations.
Oh, yeah, great. Gee, just put Eternal Bear behind that. Everybody's going to think it anyway, right? So.
No, I'm not an Eternal Bear.
Yeah, well, I know. That's what I mean. Everybody will think that anyway.
If you have questions, just raise your hands, and we'll get them answered as quickly as we can. Let's start out now with strategies at this point. What is it that a producer should do with the old crop that he has left? Actually, hold up your hands. How many people, and I don't know, I don't care how much you have, how many people have old crop left to sell? All right. For those folks, what are they going to do at this point with those beans? Are they going to stand aside, or are they going to do something now? Greg?
We've had a $1.20 rally in the market in the last 4 weeks. Our cash bid on February 4th was $4.99. Now we're six something. So, you know, they've gone up $1.20. Every textbook I've read says reward the market, and you know, $1.20 rally should be met. Now that's not to say that they might not go to $7 this summer if rust shows up, but that's also not to say that they could go to $5 if the rust doesn't show up. And keep in mind, there's a lot of beans under loan. There was a lot of hands in the audience. You know, that's usually a pretty good indicator. If only a dozen or two dozen hands went up, you know, the beans are out of the farmer's hands, maybe they can go higher. But there was an awful lot of beans out there, so that should tell us something. You know, this market is going to be extremely volatile. We've seen it go down 50 cents 1 week. We've seen it go up 50 cents the next week. We could have markets like that all summer. So there's going to be pricing opportunities. I just think this is one of them, and I think you should reduce your exposure and get some beans sold. I would say with old crop beans, you probably want to be 75% sold. And if you want to hold on to that last 20-25% for the summer, then by all means do so. But this is a $1.25 rally, and I think you need to reward the market.
We'll make the rest of this easy. I think the rest of you, and I don't talk to Vince except during Commodity Week. I think the rest of you have said sell old crop beans. Just shake your heads yes if that's still the case, and you're still thinking that that's the thing that they ought to do. Right? Is there a replacement strategy anybody want to put in place, Kurt?
Yeah, we're basically looking at the November options. They're a little bit pricey, but as a producer, I think you got to buy the extra premium here and time for say. If we do have extreme rally, it's going to be later on in July and August, and so instead of buying up front here and letting your option expire, I'll have to roll them up going out to the November for replacements.
Any questions from you guys? Just hold your hand up and you can ask it. Just Option strategies for offsetting the cost of the strategy you just explained. Is that right?
I'm not willing to be an option seller right at the moment here. If you look at the seasonal history on option volatility, your January, February is your lowest volatility. If we do get into weather, rust, aphids, or whatever, volatility is just going to go screaming through the roof. There are some strategies where you can do a bull call spread or a bear put spread, I think. That'd be the only way I'd be an option seller right now. I want to be a buyer now. I don't want to wait around until we're at the highs and be a buyer, because that's what often happens. I want to be the option seller in July.
That's for old crop. How about new crop? What are we thinking about new crop, Wayne?
Well, there's two things. It's got a little pricier as of yesterday's close. One of the things that we were wanting to do, and we did some on Friday at 17 cents premium to buy, we bought $6 puts, which, of course, locked us into being able to sell beans at $6 this fall if we could do it. We sold 5/20 puts, which we figure that basically there's a 20 to 30 cent basis during the fall time period. We take the 5/20, you take the 20 to 30 cents off, puts it at $5 below, so anything that would go down from there, the government's picking up on the LDP or the loan rate there as far as that goes. And then we sold $8 calls, saying that the fact of the matter is if we took the 17 cents we paid for it off plus the regular basis, it'd still give us $7.50 cash beans if it went against us as far as that goes. I've got another idea, and this is where you got to decide whether you want to go with Kurt or with something I'm thinking about, because I'm saying as I look out there, I see $8 bean calls trading at 15 to 17 cents over the last couple days. I'm selling those for some marginal production with the idea that I don't mind if we're getting the, let's say we're getting the 15 cents for those, a 30-cent basis, that's still 785 cash beans if you turn it into a hedge at a 30-cent basis. I don't mind selling beans there. I think I can make money. I really don't think beans are going to $8. So I'm going to take that 15 cents or $750, and I'm going to pay for some rust spray, which I think we will probably have to spray for rust or aphids. So mine is, my thought out there is I'm either going to help pay for my rust or aphid spray, or I'm willing to sell some beans at $7.85.
And Dan, if you don't want to use option strategies, what are you thinking about for the cash market?
Well, as far as cash forward sales, I guess I'm in a holding pattern, willing to let the thing kind of play out here as we go on into spring. But I think realistically, I mean, you got to kind of be looking at the $6.50-ish November futures. I mean, $6 type sales, and I know $6 sales is going to find many takers because input costs are going up significantly. But if someone wanted to put some kind of downside price risk to protect themselves, I wouldn't be doing anything less than, you know, anything under $6, but we get these November beans, you know, in the 650-ish area. You could take a look at some cash forward sales, I think.
Any other questions out here that you'd like to have asked? Vince, question on Argentina. We heard yesterday from the weather person that we had on that Argentina actually was getting quite a bit of good rain at this point. There's been a lot of chatter within the board and the analyst that Brazil now is sort of the done deal, that's been played into the marketplace. Argentina is in the pod setting portion of their crop, and that Argentina will play a great role in what happens with the marketplace over the next couple of weeks. What's your feeling about that, and what are you hearing from your sources out of Argentina and how their crop condition might be?
Well, I think the point you made about, you know, the Brazil and that issue perhaps being behind us, I think that's certainly the case. At least it should be if it's not. And I say that because, you know, in many ways we're pretty much Brazil right now, if you will, is kind of the end of August, you know, so it doesn't mean a whole lot anymore. In other words, we're August 30th where the rains have come or they haven't come, and we got good beans or we don't have good beans, you know, as you put it in our terms up here. Argentina, what does it mean? And the extra rain, you know, that they've been receiving. In many ways, I compare, and when I was in Brazil, I was in Rio Grande do Sul back in 98, which, of course, was a good while ago. But I made the comment to somebody here this morning that the only difference in that particular location was some machinery, some small machinery differences at that point in time. Argentina didn't even have the machinery differences, and I think in many ways their land was probably very comparable, fairly similar to what we have here. I don't want to say necessarily in central Illinois, central Indiana, and Iowa, but pretty close to it. And so you got people that deal with things just like those of you sitting in front of me do. And you know, if it becomes wet at harvest, they're going to have the same problems that you guys have when it's wet at harvest, that I have when it's wet at harvest, that we all deal with. But in many ways, they also have, you know, tile and things like that that help them out. So I guess what I'm trying to say, when you look at the wet weather and what it could mean to the market, you know, as it pertains to Argentina, I don't look for a lot of swing one way or the other because of weather out of Argentina, but rather, you know, if we see some big delays because of extreme wet weather continuing, then I think it could focus, you know, the market could focus on that a little bit. So,
Dan, I've got a question for you on your cyclical analysis. How has, or, and I don't know whether there's a historical precedent for this or not, maybe the wheat there might be, how does having a second crop the size of the U.S., coming on the marketplace every 6 months, change your cyclic analysis, if at all, in terms of seasonals? I mean, the guys are used to working with seasonals based off their own, off the market here in the U.S., but has it changed enough in the last couple of years that it's actually, you can see that in the charts?
I think so. I think what you've got now, it depends upon, you know, depending on what time in history you look at, whether, you know, but if you look at more recent time, like a 10-year average seasonal type pattern, and then you try to blend in what kind of cyclical formations are developing within that 10-year pattern, is you can definitely see the two seasons or the two harvests, because the market worries about the North American crop, and then it worries about the South American crop. So you have those windows of uncertainty and worry, and then it's made, and then prices go down. And while you're making the harvest low in one country, you're actually beginning to start a new phase, seasonal to the upside, of all the uncertainties that take place with the other hemisphere crop. So it kind of divides the year up into two 25 to 26 week type cyclical patterns, because you got the North American and then they got the South American.
So you're saying that the seasonals move shorter, so we're looking at 1 year every 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Right?
So there would be then, if you think about that, there'd be two, actually four maybe marketing opportunities if you think about that, right? So you'd have, I'm trying to think about this out loud here, you'd have planting spike once a year and harvest spike, but you'd end up with four of those a year potentially as
well. Right, you basically, if you look at now, the futures market gets a little ratty. That's why a lot of times I go back to the plain old basic, you know, try to keep it simple, stupid, and look at cash market. And you can see those cash lows were put in place at our harvest. So the market climaxed with our big crop, and then all of a sudden then we begin to shift the focus to South America. The markets rallied into their growing season, or until it was kind of, you know, until their crop was beginning to get planted, and once that planting uncertainty began to close and everything got planted, it was off and running, then the market then geared up and it priced in that big South American crop. So then your harvest lows, South American harvest lows, or our winter lows come in place here in early February. So now we're backing away from that, but we're basically starting to focus now on the American crop. What kind of acreage mix we're going to have, what weather we're going to have, and what kind of disease and insects and all that kind of stuff. So we're back into the window of uncertainty, and that's what's given us the price strength over the past month.
Greg, how's that changed your business over time, over the last 3 years? And I'm actually working towards something here, so we'll get to it. But
I think people just have to be more more cognizant of not just what's the weather doing in the United States, but also what it's doing in South America. The funds have played a much bigger role in the last 5 years. Every year they play a bigger role because it seems like their trading limits get expanded every year. So they are a majority of the market, and they use these short-term technical indicators. And, you know, for people like myself that are long-term fundamentalists, you know, I see 560 as a good price for beans. Now, you know, half the time we're going to be higher than that and half the time we're going to be lower than that. But the technicians, you know, they kind of look at these charts, and you can get things to go, you know, in the old days, 75 cents, 80 cents higher than the average, or 80 cents lower than the average. Now, I think with the funds using all these technical indicators, you get, you know, $1.50, $1.60 higher than the average, or $1.50, $1.60 lower than the average price for the whole year. So I think it's just added to the volatility.
So the question is, How do farmers know when to pull the trigger on the top end of that volatility?
That's the tough question, Todd. I think the question that
well, I waited to give it to you.
Well, that was nice. It's always good to get the toughest question. I think that you have to look a little bit at what Greg just said. He said that this is a good price, an average price, and we look, and when it gets what we consider exaggerated, we have to start scaling in and be willing to do it. We also have to be willing to do something that we all hate to do in some cases, is yesterday we could have got this price, today it's down at this price, but it's broke through support. Selling a down market is something we all have trouble doing. We all want yesterday's price after it's went down, and You can't believe how today I will bet you any amount of money that the guys back in the office are taking orders to sell on yesterday's high or open or whatever, because they're willing to sell that today. So I think discipline and working, and like you say, saying and saying I'm appreciative to what the funds will do over what looks good, because I will probably say, if you go back and listen to the old tapes, that all of us sitting up here, except probably for Mr. Zwicker, who was the opposite of all of us at that point in time and more right, we're telling you to sell beans on a lot smaller rally than occurred if we had the opportunity. I'll be one of the first to admit that I was one of those people. We also told people to scale in and reward this market as we went up. And we actually got short too soon, and we realized we were wrong, and we took a small hit. So that is probably the thing. Hitting the top is just about impossible, but getting above average is very easy to do.
Questions from you out here on marketing beans. How does Asian soybean, and we've sort of touched on this, but how does Asian soybean rust, in your mind, truly play out in the marketplace? What's the internal chatter that you hear about, well, if it shows up in Missouri and southern Illinois, it does this. If it shows up in central Illinois and central Indiana and parts north, do you have in the back of your mind anybody what the price range might be as that, not damage that comes from it, but as it shows up in those different areas, what kind of rally we might get out of the marketplace?
Can I answer
anybody
that?
Anybody willing
quick?
To take?
Yeah, I'll just put my 2 cents in. I have no idea. And I'm not trying to be,
I wasn't sure that anybody would, frankly.
Yeah, well, sure. Yeah, I mean, I don't think we can, I really don't think we can tell.
Well, I think, of course, we can tell. When they say rust, Chicago and a lot of people are going to react in this market. We've all talked about the possible rust rally this spring or this summer. We don't think it's going to go down. We wouldn't call it a rally. I mean, there's the chance of that. We feel that with all of the seed people, all the extension agents, everybody looking at it, this is going to be well discovered this year when it happens. And when it gets within 80 miles of your farm or whatever, you're going to be calling your elevator, your chemical place, whoever sprays your stuff, and you're going to be wanting to get spray. I think, and we've had tremendous education about this. You can't buy a sprayer hardly now. They're all back-ordered, whatever. I've had guys that had year-old sprayers that got $20,000 more for them this year than what they paid for them 2 years ago to trade on trade-ins. I think that the American farmer is going to take care of this. I think you need to watch and see. I got a chart the other day that said, they're claiming that all of these chemicals, and there was like 20 of them on the list, would help with rust. Well, there's different chemical makeups, and some of them are very good chemicals, and some of them, they work, but not to the same extent. They work at 50% or 40% of what some of the others do. I think that's going to be the important part in the availability. When it's all said and done, I think the American farmer is going to handle the rust situation quite well, but I think we're going to see 50 to, depending on how far north it moves, we're going to see somewhere between 50 and 75 cent rally, but from what point?
Dan, you started.
Well, a large chunk of that's being priced in the market now, just as last June and July we were pricing in a big South American crop. So the market is already, looking ahead at that. Now, the only thing that's missing is the realization of it. Now, when that realization phase comes, that'll be the tricky one, and this is what we're Wayne kind of talked about 75 cents up or a buck up or maybe it'll only be 20 up. But there'll be a realization phase come, and then that might be the selling opportunity rather than the point to get bullish. So you'll have to kind of play that as we go through the growing season. But we're already beginning to price this in now. Nobody knows. The best guess is that I guess I'm cynical enough in the market that if we have it, if that virus is here, if it's here and if it survived the winter, which there's some indication that it has, I don't think we have to wait on the wind to bring it up here. I think there'll be people falling over themselves getting it up here. And then we'll have to see how the market handles that and how whether or not we can. We got enough sprayers and got enough chemicals.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about anybody who got long the market and then went down and grabbed a few plants with Asian soybean rust on it, brought it up to their neighbor's field. Kurt?
Well, that's what's going to happen. Everybody's going to go down the south, see what it looks like, comes back up here and bring it with them. But be honest, you know, if Russ shows up in Mississippi, Louisiana, how many in here is going to sell the bean rally? I think there's only two or three people in this whole room will sell. In the long term, that's right. But you've got so much outside money coming in here. You get the technicals going. You get the funds going. You guys not selling. This thing can explode $2 to $3 just like that. I mean, straight up, then probably straight back down.
So is everybody of the opinion that when the rally comes, you sell into it and at $2 or $3 up, but don't look for the $4 or $5?
I think the right answer is, as in the last big rally we saw, is even if puts are expensive, they might be the cheapest and best thing to do.
But don't most of your people that watch crops, don't they think we have a bigger threat from the insect angle than simply because we didn't have as many beetles this year?
Anybody go to the corn and soybean classics and watch Kevin Steffi talk about soybean aphids and the suction trap numbers? Did you see that? Yeah, the soybean aphid numbers, they have these big pipes. They're about 20 feet tall or something like that, that they suck insects in. And Steffi thinks that this year could be a tough one. Like it has been in the past, based on how many aphids have been captured. Yes, sir.
Say we get a buck and a half rise, you can buy a lot of spraying for that, you know, and that would be covering you more than options or anything. If you got a buck and a half more off, say it started at $6, you can get any kind of plane or anything you want in there to cover you. And aphids are easier to take care of. We don't like them, but we can handle them easier.
If I can just interject here real quick, I made the comment yesterday to a customer. I said, well, it sure looks to me like it, this recent rally we've had up to the 620 area. Granted, we're not there right now. But, you know, we like the idea of being 20-25% sold on new crop beans. And everybody or a lot of people might not think that's a good idea. But the comment that I made yesterday was it looks to me like at this area, you can pretty much lock in a profit, probably including a couple of different sprayings on beans. That, of course, depends on your cash rent levels and things like that. But finally, it gives us an opportunity to experiment with a product that, for all intents and purposes, looks like it probably pays for itself anyway, according to some of the research I've seen. And the comment that I made was, if you're going to have 1,000 acres of beans next year, just hypothetically speaking, and you sell 300 acres of beans, and you're 30% sold, right? Doesn't that give you an experiment, a huge experimental field, 300 acres of beans that you can go out and spray, fungicide on or rust, you know, all this stuff. And basically, you build in your management program already because it's already paid for, and now you're being proactive instead of reactive, which, you know, the reactive scenario really isn't going to help us a whole lot, unfortunately, I don't think, because a wedding I was at over the weekend, one comment that was made by a chemical rep is that they're still talking about the government stepping in to take over controlling where the fungicide supplies will actually go if we do have a major outbreak. And again, I don't intend to scare anybody. That's not my purpose. But what I'm saying is maybe we got the opportunity to be proactive here, and maybe that's the best way to handle it instead of being reactive. I don't doubt. I mean, I probably agree with Kurt more than anybody. If we get rust, I mean, the chance of a $2-3 rally, because we've never seen it, we don't know how it's going to act. You know, one of the guys in our office made the comment, you don't have any idea what's going to happen in beans. I mean, the only guys that know there isn't anybody that's going to know, frankly, because anything could happen. The disease is extremely devastating. If we don't have enough supply to control the problem, we all know it could cut 80% of the yield out. You know, you read that everywhere. So, I mean, I'm not, again, I don't try and be derogatory here or anything, but I mean, anything can happen. The bottom line is anything can happen if we have a big major problem with it, and I'm saying it sure looks like to me we got an opportunity to be proactive, and I think that's probably a good approach.
Thanks, Vince. Vince Reiteke is with Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign. If you've got questions for him, you can ask him here in just a bit. We have to move on at the moment. You have something left that you want to say? Dan, are you? No? Okay. I was going to wrap up because it's time to go on. In about 5 minutes, we'll talk with Joe Persaki of NAS, the National Agricultural Statistics Services. We're going to take a five-minute break. Give a hand to Vince and to Dan and Kurt and Wayne and to Greg Johnson. One other note, and I have to do this because I work for University of Illinois Extension. None of the strategies are endorsed by U of I Extension. Certainly not a strategy that would allow you to put an arbitrary fungicide on to see if it actually gives you a bushel increase or two bushel increase in the marketplace. Kevin Steffi would not be happy if I let that go by. So he's the integrated pest management folk. And would not appreciate that. Dave Dickey, you have the mic, and we're going to change over.